expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, this is the Being Found Show. I'm your host, Chauncey, and this is my co-host, Jake.
Hey, how you doing?
And this is a weekly radio show to help you get a larger percentage of the online buying market. So this week, every Sunday I go out shopping with my wife, and we go to Costco. We go lots of places, but Costco is where my story happens.
All right.
And I go in there, and I see a huge, like, two-story rack of kids' costumes. And we're, like, at the beginning of September, you know.
Right, yeah.
So this is about a week ago, beginning of September. And, you know, huge rack of kids' costumes, and I'm thinking, holy smokes, this is happening. You know, we've hit the holiday season has now, because traditionally the holiday season happens the day after Halloween,
yeah,
is really when Christmas rolls in.
Yeah.
And, you know, Halloween will start at the beginning of October.
Yeah.
But here we are at the beginning of September, and they're rolling out the costumes.
Right.
And so I guess it's here. And whether or not that irritates you, a lot of people it irritates. How do you feel about it?
I'm totally agnostic. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care.
I thought it was funny, though. We got the Costco newsletter, and they're like, hey, sorry, I know it's early, but we put all the stuff up. We're a big box store. That's how we do things.
Right, right.
But I thought it was funny they felt the need to apologize in the newsletter.
Yeah, because they know that 50% of the people who are reading that are just going like, oh, what about the good old days? Blah, blah, blah. You know, but...
Well, when everyone went shopping on Christmas Eve?
Right, yeah, totally. Yeah, that would be nice. You know, like old movies and stuff like that, where they literally go shopping on Christmas Eve and they're together and they do stuff.
And like,
that seems very pleasant.
A star lights up on a tree. I don't know. Yeah, old movies always seem more pleasant than reality.
They all seem Capra-esque.
Are
you familiar with that? Capra-esque, the term?
No. Okay,
Capra-esque is a term made from the director, Frank Capra.
Oh.
And he directed a lot of those old movies, like It's a Wonderful Life and stuff. And so when things are Capra-esque, it's basically that they're too good to be true. Right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. I tell you what, though, Costco's not one of them. Their hot dogs are amazing.
They are.
And they're real.
Yeah, those hot dogs are Capra-esque. You know, here today, our topic is really going to be getting ready for the holiday season. And before you scoff and scorn at that, if you're a business owner or you're involved in the success of your business, that does not mean go out there and put out all your Christmas decorations. It means there's a lot of work behind the scenes to getting started for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, maybe... we'll just kind of hop right into it. You know, I don't know. I feel the need to explain to people a little bit more about why it's important to get started. You know, if you're a business owner, you should already know this stuff. What's your special going to be? What are the ads going to be that go with that special? You know, what is the wording behind that? Have you had somebody create the ad for you? Do you know what keywords you're after? You know, there's a lot of boring, hard work research that goes into this before you start shoving dingle balls in people's face. Maybe not the best term.
Jingle bells.
Dingle balls would be more like a Stevie Ray Vaughan's hat. You know? Or the backs of 1960s tennis player socks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you can bet the medium and large-sized businesses that have been doing this for a while, they've been preparing for this for months already.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they've got their campaigns well thought out.
Oh, so well thought out that they blatantly lied to you in a newsletter. You know, in your newsletter, they said, sorry, we're a big box store. This is how it works. No way, man. They have statistical data to back that stuff up. And it's not like they're just all like, oh, we need to make more rooms for our doodads and tiddlywinks. You know, they're saying we need to put this out there because it's going to make us money.
We need to capture those early buyers.
Right. And there are more and more early buyers every year because, frankly, people are taking advantage of those things for their own lives.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, when she wants Christmas decorations, every year we have a different colored tree. The tree itself is green. But, you know, we kind of have like, well, maybe not every year. You know, for the past 2-3 years we've been rocking pink decorations. But every time she gets new decorations, you know when she bought them?
The day after Christmas last year.
Pretty much, in January. Yeah. And so then she brings them all out this year, and now she has the plan because she is premeditated and she knows what she's doing. And, like, so even beyond that, people who are shopping for the following year, who are, you know, you'd have to be an actual freak like my wife where you're able to track that sort of existence. You know, I can't do that. I'm pretty much fly by night, day to day, just trying to hang on. But lots of people are taking advantage of these shoppings for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Black Friday. How many of those people who are buying those TVs are really a gift? It's a gift to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
or their spouse, which is
themselves
going to right in their house. Yeah.
Right. It's it's going in the living room where my wife and I hang out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, it's us. It's going to see equal parts Marvel movies and ID Channel murder shows, you know. So a lot of people are taking advantage of this, and it's just going to grow. And like I say with a lot of business concepts, if this pisses you off, swallow that. Get rid of it. It doesn't matter. You own a business. The purpose is to succeed at your business. And while you're at it, you can create some important social change and you can help the community. But this is probably not one of those areas where you really need to invest yourself.
Mm.
You know, go ahead and get out there and try to close some people and you know, feed some people and change some lives. But as far as darn Christmas coming a month too early, you know, you probably better let that go and just start researching your stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to be talking about analyzing past data. And I really can't stress to people enough, we stress it all the time, get analytics on your site. Lots of people think, like, I don't know what I would do with that data, and I don't know how to read it, and I'm not going to figure it out. But bottom line is, you couldn't figure it out without having some in front of you.
Yeah.
And you can't hire somebody to help you with it unless you have it. So get it on your website. Start now. No time like the present. Get it up in there. And in the future, you'll be able to use it. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about the things you can do with the analytics that you have from last year. You're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back.
We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. If all you need is an in-cabin air filter change, come on in. No appointment necessary. Drive in to Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. That's right, that song was summer because we're actually still in summer. You know, seasons go longer than most people expect. You know, winter doesn't actually start until, what, December 21st or something like
really?
That? Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And summer, yeah.
Wow.
But we're not talking about that kind of season. We're talking about holiday seasons. And holiday season is here. And, you know, just like with the first signs of spring, we've seen the first sign of the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Costco.
Yep.
Who's a big box store, so they can't help it. All right. So our first topic here that we're discussing is analyze past data to establish a baseline. That sounds very exciting. That's a very exciting term. But basically what it's saying is take a look at what happened last year so that you can figure out what to expect this year. What was that quote that we were talking earlier? History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the case here because history isn't going to repeat itself from last year due to the growth of the internet, the growth mm-hmm. of mobile marketing, the growth of all these things. But you can get yourself a baseline. So the first thing that I got on here on my list, we discussed it at the end of the last segment. If you don't have analytics, get it now so that you can do it in the future.
And that's not a hard. Yeah, it's not a difficult thing to do.
No, it's
you,
not.
You set up your account. It's free. They give you a code. And if you're not familiar with the back end of your website, maybe one of your employees or a friend can kind of show you around.
Right.
But it takes about 10 minutes to complete.
Right, right. You either have a web developer who's going to pop that in there, or let's say you're using a CMS like WordPress or something, you put in a plugin so that you can pop it in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy and it's important. And that's all I'm going to do to drive that into you. We pretty much hit that topic every other show.
Yeah.
So so here's some stats for analyzing your data that you could compare to your own data. Transactions completed during the holidays now account for more than 23% of total revenues. Of course, this varies from industry to industry. Mm-hmm. So when I first read that, I was like blown away. I'm just all, that's like a quarter of your revenue comes from transactions in the holidays. But when do the holidays start? Apparently September, October, November, December, which is a quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's a third of the year.
Yeah.
But originally it was a quarter of the year. So that's not actually all that freaky shocking to me when I actually read it. I'm all, what are they trying to trick us with? You know, seeing statistical growth can show you how much to hire and how much to stock for the upcoming holidays. This is a very important one for those brick and mortars. You know, I got kids, three kids, and they were all teenagers at the same time, job hunting and stuff like that. You know, there's always those seasonal jobs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so prepping for you guys out there knowing what type of growth you're going to have allows you to start searching for that stuff now, especially onboarding. Onboarding is expensive and time-consuming. But necessary.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it also helps you out if you got that guy who keeps stealing the toilet paper. Maybe after the holidays you can replace him with your new guy.
Yeah.
Seeing when exactly holiday shopping starts at your business. Obviously Costco has figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're making room, making way. You know, because their thought, I bet you, is not we're going to get this stuff up for Halloween. Because Halloween's so important, it's basically we're going to clear out as much Halloween stuff as we possibly can to make room for all this Christmas stuff that we're going to put in there. You know, because Halloween is easily the second highest grossing holiday in the United States. But it's also a very distant second. But it's definitely easily the second, but it's a very, very distant second. So, This is an important one, but not a very exciting one. Figuring out which keywords lead to conversions, allowing you to repurpose your best content from past seasons, and highlight your best products and your most popular pages. Not very exciting, but it's what analytics was built for.
And you know, that just got a little bit easier. Google Analytics completely revamped their analytics dashboard to make it easier to navigate. I mean, because if anyone's ever been there before, there's like 50 different options and submenus of submenus. There's a lot of stuff going on. They kind of took the most important items and put them right up front so people can easily navigate those now.
Yeah, and Google Webmaster Tools had the redesign as well at the same time. And that's one thing I got to throw out to people is like, you can do a lot with Google Analytics. You can go in there and you can look at it and you can say, my God, what am I going to do here? You can talk to people. There are a lot of web developers out there. There's a lot of marketing specialists out there that, be it if they're trying to talk themselves up, or maybe they're such a nerd they can't speak regular English or whatever language they speak, you know, but they make it sound so complex. And it is. It can be. But it doesn't have to be. Just like most complex things, it can also do the real simple things. It's just a matter of finding those five clicks that get you to the simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really in analytics, I would say any business owner really needs to track, like for starting out, like five things. You know, like, is my traffic going up?
Mm-hmm.
Are people bouncing? Are they Are they bouncing from my shopping cart? You know, little things like that. You know, in the end, maybe you get it all figured out and you're drilling down to serious, serious specifics. But those five easy things are still there. Don't let it overwhelm you. You can get in there. All right. Identify your top marketing channels. For those that don't understand the term, your marketing channels are basically where your traffic or visitors are coming from. This is the same in the real world. Are they coming from word of mouth? Are they coming from reference? Are they coming from search? Are they coming from snail mail, email, blah, blah, blah? These are all your marketing channels. And when it comes to online marketing and analytics, analytics very easily lays it out for you as to exactly where they're coming from and what they're doing when they get there. Now, it sounds like, oh, well, that's some serious privacy problems. But they're not tracking who they are or anything like that. They're just telling you how they got there and why they left, you know, stuff like that. Top marketing channels tends to be SEO and ads, you know, which is why everybody's so focused on search engine optimization, advertisement. But we've seen, and Andrea has just really been kind of amazed that a lot of these visual shoppers, Joe pointed this out to us first, that we had a shocking number of links coming through, or not links, but traffic coming through from Pinterest.
Yeah.
You know, and we also had a large amount of bounces. And we weren't sure why at first. But all it took was taking a look at Pinterest and then linking to our site. And it was easy to see what the problem was. We went from an image-heavy site of people doing browsing to a page full of text with one image.
Mm-hmm.
And people got there and they're like, oh, that is not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is looking at a bunch of pictures that inspire me, you know. And so the goal there would be to create a page that bridges inspiration and making a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's possible, you know, to raise that up and stuff like that. So figuring out your channels, very important, making sure your channels are going to the right places. I realize that creating pages for your backlinking from Pinterest is probably not practical for most small-sized businesses, but most medium-sized businesses, you definitely can, you know. But even the small ones, you know, make sure you got some galleries on there and some images that sort of continue what people were interested in when they get to your site. It'll tell you which products and merchandise are the most popular. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, I know what's most popular. It's what sells. Well, that's not necessarily the case. What's most popular is what people are coming there for and what people are searching for. And without analytics, you're not seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you sell doodads and you sell tiddlywinks. And you sell tons of tiddlywinks at $1 a pop. But you sell very little doodads at $10 a pop. And then you find out that you're getting tons of traffic that's bouncing for doodads because it's bouncing because they're $9 a pop someplace else. And if you just sold them at $8, you'd be having that much larger profit margin than your $1 doodads. Mm-hmm. You know, so what you sell is a different metric than what products and merchandise are most popular, not your most popular selling item.
Or, could be that you just haven't optimized the page for what people are actually searching for.
Oh, absolutely.
Tiddlywinks, if everyone's calling your tiddlywinks thingamajigs.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just not finding you.
Right. Or they're getting there and they're not sure that they're looking at the product that their whiny brat of a grandson is after, you know, for their Christmas purchase, you know. Is this the one? You know, my wife has this story about how she wanted Cabbage Patch Kids so bad and her dad had ended up buying her one from the flea market. And, like, it was, like, this knockoff Cabbage Patch Kid. And when she held it up, against her ceiling light and stuff, you could see light glowing through its head. And, like, she was, like, but she didn't want to hurt her dad's feelings.
It's an iceberg lettuce kid.
Yeah, totally. That's really funny. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back. We'll talk more about analytics on your site.
Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you been hiding out lately, honey? You can't dress as fast.
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us the week of 17 September for Kristen Schrader on Monday, Barry Tiffin on Tuesday, the Sheriff on Wednesday, our DA on Thursday, and Mike DeQuisto on Friday. A whole week of politics, law and order, and rebuilding our city. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Alza Wet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Papopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Driving all night long just to reach our destination in your town. We've come 500 miles, everyone's asleep at night. Oh, 18 wheels are rolling, 18 wheels are rolling round and round. Please, Mr. Driver, won't you pull over? We're all really hungry.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. I had to wait a little long there so I could hear my favorite line from that song. We'll have 14 steak and eggs, 14 orange juice, and 14 cups of coffee. All right, so we are talking about analytics coming up for the holiday season, why it's so important, and how it can help you. to prepare for this year, and if not, to track this year to prepare for next year. And a lot of people are probably saying, oh, God, I got to track this year because I'm like, I'm already dealing with all these sales, you know, and the kids want the stuff and the, you know, the husband's getting all crazy and so on and so forth. No, analytics does the tracking for you. You just need to put the code on there. So when we're saying you need to track this year, it means spend 10 minutes, get the code on there. Then next year, take a look at it at your own leisure. All right, so before the break, we were talking about which products and merchandise are most popular and how analytics can show you that. The difference between your sales, which ones sell the best, and which are most popular. So an example is, like, let's take the car industry. And you sell Chevys. Hondas are most popular. You get the difference? You can sell all the Chevys you want and talk about how Chevys are the most popular, but they're not. You just don't sell the other ones. And maybe they are more popular than Honda. I don't know. You know. So let's say you are capable of also selling these cars and so on and so forth. Maybe cars wasn't the best example. But just to split the idea, just because what you're selling the best does not mean it's the most popular of your products. Without looking at analytics, you're not going to see what people are coming to you for and leaving. All right, so that got confusing. All right, what triggers might have helped the customer convert? This is a huge one. I know it's maybe a confusing term. You know, half of the audience out there is probably just a whatever chance. That's not a confusing term at all. But a lot of people, you know, lingo and jargon is a very important yet also alienating situation if you don't know what these terms mean. So what triggers might have helped the customer convert? Of course, convert means that they give you the money. And the trigger is basically something that made them change their mind. Now, the most common place where we see the analyzing of these triggers is in the shopping cart. You know, you go along, you put 10 things in your shopping cart, and you abandon it. Or you ditch some of them. Or so on and so forth, you know. Those analytics will help you understand where those triggers are. Why they said, I'm going to do this, now I'm not going to do this. And if you're looking at your analytics, I'm sure you'd be incredibly surprised at how many people actually do that. And if you did the math on your analytics, and let's say you make, you know, $20,000 a month in sales, and you see that 50% of people are abandoning their purchase, you realize that you could make $40,000 a month in sales if you just fix that.
Yeah, potentially 20 grand is sitting on the table.
Right.
And you're not really sure why.
Right. And your competitor probably hasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what triggers might have helped the customers convert? Other triggers are when they hit your site, like we were talking before from Pinterest. The trigger could be, I got here and it's all text and no images, and that's obviously what I'm here for. You know, other triggers could be shipping. I don't want to pay that much for shipping. You know, there's a lot of potential triggers. Just think of that in terms like that. What types of customers spend the most? So when we're dealing with types of customers, you can make general assumptions. You know, analytics will give you some idea. If somebody's logged into Google, there is some personal information that will be shared with you. You know, it might share if they're a male or a female. It might share where they're located in a general sense. I think you can drill down to state, but for the most part, it's country. You know, you can drill down to city a bit, but it starts to get a little squirrely at that point. But also, you can make grand assumptions about where they're coming from as to what type of person they are. So, like we were saying with Pinterest, Pinterest is people who are visually interested. So that is a type of person. So you can really drill down a lot of this stuff as to what types of customers spend the most and really sort of focus on them, you know.
Serve them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. when are customers doing the bulk of their shopping? This is probably one of the easiest things to acquire from analytics. And once again, you're probably looking at your online site going, oh, well, they do the bulk of their shopping in this month, that month, or the other. That's not true. They're doing the bulk of the conversion for you in that month.
Mm.
When they're doing the bulk of their shopping, might not even be with you because you aren't doing the right things. And, you know, I don't mean to sound all smarty pants about that. You know, the right things tend to be just these total minutia. You know, it's like I had this sort of like weird realization that everything in life is built and disassembled out of grains of sand. I would get frustrated with my own life because I'm just, oh, it's just not happening fast enough. Man, I need to get it done, you know. And really, I wish I would have listened to Aesop back in 27 million BC or whenever Aesop was around. You know, slow and steady really does win the race, you know. And everything is truly built out of grains of sand. So, you know, just get it in there. So when are customers doing the bulk of their shopping? Unless you're looking at analytics, you just don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you want to spread it around. You want to be there. You know, this show is called The Being Found Show. And really, the whole premise behind the title is to make yourself available for people. People are all different. You know, millennials don't want to call you. They want to do it on their phone. They want to chat you if need be. But really, they just want to make the purchase and be done with it. And if mm-hmm. they don't, they'll go someplace else. You know, people in their 60s, maybe they don't want to call you. Maybe they want to find out, you know, how's that tactile feel? I don't know. The point is that people are using all sorts of different ways to get to you. And your goal is to be found and be available. And none of them are really, really that hard. You know, and with analytics, you're able to identify your top three, and then you work on those top three, and then your next three, and then you work on your next three. You know, I don't expect anybody to just hop in and be all like, we're doing it all at once, because, like I was saying, the world is built out of grains of sand, mm-hmm. and I realize that you have to move one grain of sand at a time. Maybe you get a shovel now because you're rich, and you can afford that shovel. Maybe you play Animal Crossing and you got the super gold shovel that'll move like four scoops in one swoop. But basically, it takes movement and time. So when we're telling you do everything, do everything, do everything, we're basically throwing it out there. Don't do everything. Do one thing. And then do two. And then do three. And make sure you're doing all three well. And then start tacking on. You know, but be available. It's like email, you know. Don't give it up. Email is still hugely important.
Okay.
All right. So the last one on here is do A/B testing to collect better data for next year. This one might take a little bit of help, but not much. I don't know. Have you ever done much A/B testing?
I have a little bit. There's a handful of landing page programs out there that you can basically buy a landing page, hook it up to your website, and it will automatically show people a different page based on parameters that you give to it.
Right.
So, yeah, there's I'm thinking Unbounce is one. There's a couple others that are very similar.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be for a large managed thing. If you know a little bit of code, Google Webmaster Tools and Analytics will offer you A/B testing, and you're able to take this code and put it in your site, and you're able to show two different things. And what Google will do is, or what the code will allow it to do, is show that 50% of the time. And then you can put a timer on it that says, basically, after 2 weeks, if one of them's winning out, just show that one all the time.
Hmm.
You know. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back. We're helping you get ready for the holidays.
There was summer when I saw your face. Like a teenage runaway, and God, I never thought we'd take it that far.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Reading, California, 96003.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about getting your business ready for the holidays. Don't laugh. It's important, and it's important because there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Don't go running out putting out garland because you're just not ready yet. You know? Until you have followed our last two segments where we're talking about the statistical data. If your statistical data tells you to start hucking out garland in September, well, go for it, man. That'll make your sales, but don't do it now. Our next one, getting you ready for the holidays, is optimize for mobile. This is one that we've covered many times on this show, mobile responsiveness, how important it is. So we're going to run through it fairly quickly, because if you haven't got it through your head now, I don't know.
There's no helping you.
Yeah, there's no helping you. You might as well close up your doors or your virtual phone door. All right, so... mobile shopping is expected to rise 58% this holiday season. And that's a statistic from July of this year.
Yeah.
So basically, if your company made $40,000 last Christmas, expect to make $60,000 this Christmas. Off of a mobile device. You know, off of mobile devices alone. And that is a massive jump, and it's also not a shocking jump.
No.
If you've been tracking this stuff at all, we've been looking at jumps like that every year.
Yep.
And we can expect more and more jumps like that as people really drastically move across to it. So as a internet worker guy, it's still not very practical for me to do everything from my phone or my tablet or anything like that. But my wife is a consumer, and she pays bills for the most part from the desktop. And the main reason why she does that is because it gets her into the mindset of I'm doing work. She could do it all from her phone and laptop and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, from her phone and tablet. But she likes to sit down at the computer because it puts her in the zone. She gets it all paid, all organized and everything. And now she's done with business and walks away from that and goes back to just being a fun consumer.
Yeah.
You know, so the growth on this eventually will be, there will be no desktop. There probably will be no laptop. There basically will be a fold-out tablet, a roll-out tablet. It will be all mobile devices eventually.
Yeah, Google did a pretty awesome report. I mean, it's been like 2 years now, but I think everything in it is still applicable. They called it micro moments. And essentially, what you've got is situations where, you know, people are discussing something around the dinner table. Maybe they're with their family. Someone mentions something, and boom, someone's on their phone looking up the price of a product. Maybe grandma mentioned a gift she was interested in, and it's that moment, that click. Right. All you've got is your phone, so you go shopping just that second.
Right.
Really, really good report called Micro Moments. If you get a chance, read that and get a little bit of insight into mobile shopping.
Yeah, and I remember you sharing that, and I totally agree. The other thing that came from what you just said there is, if grandma's not the one doing the searching from her phone, within the next 10 years, grandma's will be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
I think we're there already.
Expect that number to go up even more drastically.
Yeah.
Tailor the user experience to mobile devices to increase your holiday spending this year. That's pretty obvious. That's what we're saying. Optimize for mobile. Make sure that they can get in there.
Mm-hmm.
November and December see 30% more online sales than any other month.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Everybody who's out there and just said, yeah, well, of course, realize that we're talking about online sales on mobile devices. You know, so we're seeing major, major jumps up. 92% of customers will research a gift online this holiday season, with more than half coming from mobile devices. 92% of consumers.
That's huge.
That's almost everybody. And that's a lot of grandmas, too.
And that really, really speaks to the need to have quality content on your website. I do it all the time. Before I make a purchase, I want to know who makes the best one, you know, what materials are being used, all that stuff.
Right.
So if you're selling something and you know that before people buy, they're going to be asking a question, tell them. Be the one to give them the information they're looking for.
Right. And this gives you multiple reasons why you do that, even if they go someplace else in the end. For one, you're getting all the impulse buys.
Mm-hmm.
For two, you're getting all the traffic and the weight for all the other things that you can pass off to your other products so that you show up more in search for these other things. You know, and for three, maybe you don't sell exactly that, but you can show alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're getting the research buy also, maybe. 71% of shoppers use smartphones to research products in store.
Guilty.
Oh, I'm totally guilty. Yeah. You know, and the implication of that statement is that they're researching, can I get it for cheaper online?
Yeah.
But that's not really the only reason why they are, you know, because if I'm researching something in store and let's say I'm buying a doodad, I can read the box or I can read my phone.
Yeah.
I can read reviews on my phone. You know, there are a lot of things that I can find on my phone about that thing that I'm about to buy in store that has nothing to do with trying to find a cheaper price online.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people are doing exactly that. Mobile sales accounted for 27.9% of total online sales during Black Friday.
Smaller than I thought.
No. Realize Black Friday is not Cyber Monday.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Black Friday is the in-store sales.
Yeah.
You know.
You're right.
And I'm one of those people, you know. I'm not going in the store.
No.
My wife and kids will do it sometimes, and they talk about how fun it is. But to me, it's like, it's hell. It's hell on earth. It is. You know? And I don't have any social anxiety. My only social anxiety is like when I'm in a room surrounded with people, the more people there are, the more I start to ask myself, how futile is life? Is this really what we're here for? You know, it's like I start to get irritated, like going like, what's the point? There's no point.
I think that. I'm like, oh, snap, look at that sale.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not much of a shopper. And, you know, it's like our buddy Sean from my other show. You know, he lost his house in the car fire, and he goes clothes shopping and buys all black. And I'm just all, what are you, in mourning? He's just all, no, it all goes together. You know, it's easy. I hate shopping. It's the thing that gets me out of the store the fastest.
Yep.
Buy all black. Cyber Monday sales in the U.S. generated $3.19 billion in 2015.
It's got to be double or triple that by now.
Oh, it does. It most certainly does. So, you know, you need to get yourself out there. You need to make that stuff happen. Yeah. All right. So next week we're going to cover streamlining the checkout process is going to be the first thing. I know that probably doesn't sound all that exciting, but it is. It's highly important, and it is the number one thing. And a lot of these mobile things we would have easily carried over to that because really streamlining the checkout process for mobile is a big area where you lose a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Thanks for checking us out. Come on back next week.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The White House says President Trump has issued a disaster declaration for North and South Carolina, one that will make federal money available to people in the most affected counties. Florence proved to be deadly in Wilmington, North Carolina, where Adam Sparks lives near, where a family saw some deaths as a mother and child were killed when a tree collapsed onto their home.
They had some old trees behind the house back there, and it was only a matter of time for one of them to give, but you can't really predict any of that part.
The president's disaster declaration affects only North Carolina. The money will go to several counties that were the hardest hit. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper warning last night that worst of the flooding is still yet to come, even though the storm has been weakening.
Florence is still slowly and painfully grinding its way across North Carolina with punishing winds and flooding rains.
And NOAA Steve Goldstein stressing that it's now areas farther inland in North Carolina that have to worry about the heaviest of those rains.
As Florence drifts into north central and northwestern North Carolina and South Carolina, it will take the very heavy rain bands with it. And heavy rain may impact the Charlotte, North Carolina area late tonight into tomorrow.
The storm is expected to weaken in intensity. Therefore, by tonight, it could be lowered once again in status to a tropical depression. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo unloaded yesterday on his Obama-era predecessor John Kerry for actively undermining U.S. policy on Iran by meeting several times recently with the Iranian foreign minister, criticizing President Trump for pulling out of the controversial Iran nuclear deal.
This is a former Secretary of State engaged with the world's largest state sponsor of terror. And according to him, right, I don't have to take my word for it, these are his answers, he was talking to them. He was telling them to wait out this administration.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, more on these stories from townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
The Pentagon says the State Department has approved the possible sale of up to 9 early warning aircraft to Japan for about $3.1 billion.
The department says Japan will use the Navy's E-2D Advanced Hawkeye aircraft to achieve greater awareness of activities in the air and sea in the Pacific region. It says the twin turboprop aircraft will also improve Japan's ability to defend itself. The price includes the aircraft support systems and spare parts. Northrop Grumman Corporation Aerospace Systems in Melbourne, Florida, would be the main contractor.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says the latest claims about him are not true. He strongly denied a sexual misconduct allegation from when he was in high school. In a statement released Friday by the White House, Kavanaugh said, quote, "I categorically and unequivocally deny this allegation." Kavanaugh's statement comes after Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein said she notified federal investigators about the claim. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The governor of the Bank of England is now warning ministers of severe economic problems that would be created should Britain leave the EU without a final deal on future relations.
Multiple British press outlets say the bank's Mark Carney has told senior lawmakers in a closed-door briefing that a no-deal Brexit would cause house values to plummet in Britain by as much as 35% because of rising mortgage rates. Carney has also warned the pound would plunge and there'd be an increase in inflation and interest rates.
That's correspondent Charles L. Desma reporting. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in is headed to North Korea once again on Tuesday for his third summit with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Moon will try to get Kim to express more clearly that he is prepared to abandon his nuclear weapons program. That, on the other hand, will create momentum for a possible second summit between Kim and President Trump. More details on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
My darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Sean C. Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. This is an awesome paranormal and conspiracy show.
Yeah.
About everything.
Move over all other paranormal and conspiracy shows. Yeah. We're on the scene.
Move over with all your fake news. We got the best fake news around.
Yeah, this is premium fake news.
Premium fake news.
Yeah.
So, I'm talking to my wife today, and she's like looking through Facebook, and some girl has posted about how she hates Gwyneth Paltrow, and she's the worst actress ever, and she needs to go die with her stupid bird face or something. And, like, it got me to thinking just how terrible people are, you know, to the point where...
Yeah, people aren't great.
You know, to the point where you can, like, you know, really have a personal opinion about Gwyneth Paltrow. It's like...
On the plus side, though, I feel happy for this person.
Why?
Because... If you're at a point in your life where you're angry about actresses,
yeah,
you've got to be. You can't have that many real problems.
Everything else is coming up,
right?
You know, just awesome.
I mean, people are like that. When you remove all the real problems, you come up with, you know, imaginary problems. That's
Are you making fun of me for being entitled because of our prior conversation?
No. But I mean,
entitled,
I could be.
Entitled people. You know, yeah.
I think it's weird that that's how you interpreted it. Hey, okay, yeah. I mean,
you know, so this got me thinking about, like, you know, politics, and everybody is just fighting so hard. And I had read some other Facebook post where some guy had said that today I went out and I drove around and I had a gun and I wore some Nikes and I bought some Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I, you know, did all this stuff. And, like, and, you know, he had a really good point. And, you know, here we are, you know.
And the punchline was, it's called being normal.
It's called being normal, yeah.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, I think, obviously, let our political opinions out there just a little bit that, you know, we're more on the left than
a
lot of people on our radio station, you know. And so I just want people to know out there that, you know, as long as you're not a bigot and a jerk, you're all right.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
You know. You're all right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really care about that.
Or if you're not a Keynesian economist, then, you know, you can die in a fire.
I don't know. You lost me there. What is that one?
I have no idea. It doesn't matter. I was being facetious.
So something else funny in the news. So
as
here we are.
As opposed to classical economics.
I see. Yeah, that's fitting, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you're, you know, not a...
I mean, those people are unholy freaking heretics.
Right, totally. You know?
As long as you're not one of them.
A globalist communist?
Exactly.
Or a
nationalist? No, I think that's the opposite, because I'm liberal, I picked those on purpose. Communists. Oh, okay.
All right. So, also in the news, it is smoky, because there's a new fire.
Oh, my God.
And it's brutal. And it's funny, because the car fire was so close to here, but the smoke coming from this Delta fire is, like, worse, way worse.
Yeah. Well, I think
as far as air quality,
mostly a fluke of the wind.
Right.
What's going on. But the last few days were horrendous.
The news had reports. So my wife picks up my daughter from school today, and my wife's feeling nauseous because of the smoke.
Can't blame her.
My daughter gets in the car, and she's just all, yeah, I'm feeling nauseous because of the smoke. And, you know, Terry's talking to me, and she's just all, you know, I'll get sinus problems. My eyes will dry out, but I'm never nauseous because of it. And then there's, like, this report on the news about illegal pot grows catching on fire and meth labs and, like, honey oil things. And, like, so basically there's all sorts of, like, just crazy drug shadiness going on. Because, you know, we're kind of like at the corner, the very corner tip of this sort of green economy. You know, coming up from us is really where it starts to get wild when you go north.
Right.
You know, is really, you know, and so this is where this fire is pushing. And so so apparently we're all getting loaded.
Okay. I didn't notice anything other than, you know, headaches, so.
Yeah, well, you know.
But, you know, maybe I wouldn't.
That's how squares
maybe and... I'm too far gone.
That's how squares and noobs respond to it. You're a square and a noob.
I am a square and a noob.
All right, so what's going on with you this week?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot, but I've got to say I'm, you know, speaking of conspiracies and fake news and all that kind of stuff. This whole bit with the editorial in the New York Times, I'm sure you've heard about that. Everyone's heard about
that. I'm back and forth on this one, and this is why I can probably be called...
It's insane that this is even a thing, though, right?
Right. It is a little weird that people can get so invested in anonymity.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly... Okay, there's a number of insane things about
there is.
This.
It's insane as to the way that... This White House might be running. It's insane that people back up anonymity. I find the whole thing just totally ridiculous. I think...
Right.
I think the real conspiracy here is to keep us spinning. I've said it before that for some reason I'm supposed to know how to fix the economy on a global scale, but if my car breaks down, I'm supposed to hire a mechanic. It's ridiculous. We are... It's like I can't... My wife literally has educated herself to the point of being an accountant to do our taxes. You know, she spent years training herself, and now she's really good and really fast at it. But, I mean, it is not a like, hey, let's sit down and take care of our paperwork. We're really organized.
Yeah.
But it is not so easy. You know, and this whole world, I think, has us set up to spin so that we don't focus on anything.
I mean, I don't think it's intentional. I just think...
I don't know. We're a conspiracy
show. The world is very complicated.
It is.
It becomes exponentially more complicated, you know, the longer this whole civilization thing goes on.
But you don't think people are making it complicated on purpose?
I think, well, it depends on what you're talking about. I think taxes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think, like, the stock market, definitely. Well, really, anything financial is probably, in large part, you know, people making things more complicated than they need to be so that their specialist knowledge is more valuable. Because it's, like, it's the same people deciding how complicated these systems are who are being paid to unravel these complicated systems. So, like, of course, there is an incentive to make them complicated.
Right, right.
But other things, like, I don't know, like medicine, the human body is just really complicated. Insurance... That's probably more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah,
you know,
medicine too. Look at the opioid crisis. I mean, that's people pushing drugs. They're drug pushers. You know, I can't go out and grow broccoli. I cannot grow broccoli in my backyard and start a broccoli company without investing massive amounts of money.
I feel like, though, that's an issue that is inherently complicated. No one went out of their way to make it complicated.
I don't know. Charles Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie, he could have started a broccoli company.
Well, okay, we're talking...
Is Charles Ingalls, that's a conversation stopper?
No, like, I'm aware of...
He was a real
these
guy.
People, yes, yeah. But... I mean, you know, with technology and all, you can't be a little farmer on the prairie or whatever. In order to be at all relevant, you've got to integrate yourself into these tremendously complicated Leviathan systems.
Right, you got to become
that will crush you if you step out of line.
Yeah, cybernetic gutter pumper.
But right. But I would argue no one's really in control of those things, which is kind of scary, I think.
Right,
just,
well, I think they're all...
It's all just spinning crazily out of control, and who knows where it's going.
We're coming up on the break here. I think it was all little people trying to make little things complicated in order to seize control of their industries. All right. Coming up here...
Big topic there.
Big topic. Coming up here, we have T-Fox Dunham, host of What Are You Afraid Of? Podcast and the new medical mystery thriller, Mercy. Come on back. You feel the ball.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Gather your friends for a night with Sinbad live at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Friday, October 19th. Ranked by Comedy Central as one of the 100 greatest stand-ups of all time, actor and comedian Sinbad has had audiences laughing over three decades. His storytelling style of comedy is profound without being profane.
Marriage is work. Marriage is a career. It's not adventure. You do more before five than most folks do all day. It's like the military. And all you men out here 55 years old trying to date some girl 20 like she like you. Are you out your mind? She wants your house. You want a woman that understands the signs of stroke.
Do not miss your chance to see Sinbad live at the Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, October 19th. Tickets start at $20. For tickets or to reserve a room in our hotel, call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Must be 21 to attend. Don't forget to download the Wind River app.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
To Radio Wasteland, and our guest, T. Fox Dunham, host of the podcast, What Are You Afraid Of?, and author of a new medical thriller, Mercy, all caps. Do we have you there with us?
I am here, sir. How are you?
Do I call you T? Do I call you T. Fox?
You can call me Fox. I'm very happy with that.
Okay, Fox it is.
It's my totem spirit, so.
Yeah, I've never been sure how to roll with the first initial, you know, because... I always said that if I was going to be an author, I'd be C. Charles Hallworth, because that's my middle name, because it sounds cool, but I mean, you know,
You know, the first initial stands for pretension. That's important.
Right. All right, so how are you doing this evening?
I'm fantastic, and hello, Radio Wasteland from the East Coast. I think I'm the only one left out here. We're all running from a hurricane down in the south.
Are you threatened by that at this point, or...?
Hopefully not, but they're saying it's going to come up into the Maryland area, so we'll see. We're definitely getting a lot of rain.
Well, we're on
running
fire.
From fires, so yeah, we'll meet you in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Kansas,
okay,
so
we're all rushing to the flyover states then.
Right. Exactly.
Where we'll all be taken down by a tornado, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, so I wanted to, in the first segment here, to talk a little bit about your podcast, What Are You Afraid Of? I love the title. When I said it to my wife, she's just, oh, that sounds great. Because, you know, she just wants to dig into the fear of, of what each. I think she was thinking like irrational fears of clown suits or something, you know. That's but can you tell irrational. Us a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. What Are You Afraid of? Pod and Paranormal Show. I started the show because as an indie author, we do more promotion than we actually do writing out there stumping our book. And with my health, I can't really get out to a lot of the writing events. And, of course, public events are often sparsely populated with audience members, too. So I started the show to basically say, buy my book. And because I'm a horror author, I picked horror as the topic. And we decided to do a mix of horror, paranormal, ghost stories, little comedies and banter, and use my connections in the horror writing community to bring on guests and new horror fiction and basically reach out to publishers, readers, and other authors.
Sounds great to me because I am, without a doubt, the most hardcore horror fan I know. It's kind
of like the show.
It's kind
and
of lonely.
Funny about the title, when we did it, we were just sort of all sitting around spitballing, and somebody said, well, what are you afraid of? And it just clicked, you know, that moment where it clicks, and you're like, there it is, there's the title. And without doing any research, I set up the title, and we got all these religious fans coming to the show. Apparently, what are you afraid of is a popular evangelist phrase for people. What are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of hell?
Oh, so, I see. Well, that seems positive.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
in a way.
So that's where we built our market there. So.
Well, luckily, when you're dealing with horror, or you're dealing with the paranormal, or you're dealing with anything sort of counterculture, there's really no such thing as bad publicity.
Right.
You know, as long as you got those people talking about you out there, you know, that's good. So what are some of the topics you have on here? Can you give us an example of a recent topic? My interest has peaked.
Well, I think the episode we have coming up, which is episode, it should be 95, we have a psychic on, Michael Bodine, and he's a world-famous psychic. He's friends with people like Melanie Griffiths and Gary Busey, a friend of his. And he came on to tell us about some paranormal experiences he had. And also, and one of the more interesting topics he brought up was a secret meeting of vampires, real vampires, in the woods.
Interesting.
So, that's
you know. And,
yeah. Well, I have a soft spot for vampires.
Yeah.
And I know quite a few.
There you go.
I'm a huge fan of...
We don't usually meet in the woods, but...
Well, apparently you're missing out, you know?
Yeah, apparently.
I'm a huge fan of Clive Barker, and so I really enjoy these things when I... It's kind of the fantasy of Clive Barker's stories that, like, make you think that there's a world beyond. Like, it seems like a lot of stories and ghost stories are really sort of specific unto themselves with really sort of, like... No history or anything in there that sort of ties it into anything other than, you know, something bad happened and this is an echo of that or something. But anything that sort of conveys that there is this world and culture beyond, I find really interesting. So I do find the idea of these vampires and out there and, you know, I'm always asking psychics when they're on, like, you know, what's going on with the world beyond. And I don't know, you ever get a good answer on that from anybody?
You know, that's a question we ask our psychics, too. We've had a couple of psychics on over the summertime, and they're just one variety of many of the paranormal guests we have come on the show. And they often get elusive at first, and then they respond like they know more than we will, and they'll always know more than we will, but it's hard to lock them down in an answer. But I think my favorite was a psychic who came on, Carolyn Clapper, our first psychic, and she said, she talks about this council of angels or councils of soul who sort of watch over the living and guide people through life and death and then decide if you're good enough to come into the afterlife. And she'd met this council when she had gotten very sick when she was younger and died and passed on and come back. And you were saying, we do love listening to ghost stories. We have many paranormal investigators come on the show who are seeking that truth. And I think it gives us comfort that there might be something beyond death. And it's the only glimpses we really have.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's the thing that really kind of throws me off about, you know, because Sean and I, we started this show really kind of as skeptics. I don't know if skeptic is really the right word, as people who didn't know but were curious and interested but didn't really have any reason to believe anything. We came onto the and so I'm always sort of like, I don't know, looking for, like even with UFOs, I'm constantly looking for an intent. You know, it's like I get all the stories, I get the facts, I get the stuff coming in, but it's like I've never really got a good answer for intent. And that's where I kind of get a little bit lost on some of these paranormal things, because I always want to know, like, the why. And I guess maybe that's what makes people skeptics.
And it's fun.
It is fun, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, as a horror writer, I assume you are also a horror fan, and I grew up just loving horror and, you know, finding out, like, well, maybe there is something more, and that was really my gateway drug into paranormal.
I've always liked zombies, and we haven't done enough for zombies, and I'm so sorry to all the zombies out there. We will get to you, promise you, sir. So.
A lot of them aren't really good radio guests. A lot of one-word answers, brains, yeah. And ARG and all that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
If you can get that out of them.
Yeah.
But, it's in the way they say it. It really is.
Well, we don't have too long till the commercial break, so I'm going to stick on zombies here because I have a bit of an issue with zombies, and you as a horror writer, I'm sure you have some input into this. I feel like the history of the zombie has been just sort of overwhelmed thanks to Richard Matheson and,
yes.
And you know, oh, gosh, why am I forgetting his name? He died. Night of the Living Dead. George Romero. You know, I feel like the actual history of the zombie, it's like we don't get any of those cool, like, Serpent in the Rainbow or White Zombie or these kind of cool old sort of singular voodoo zombie things anymore, and I'm really kind of disappointed in that in horror.
Well, it was George Romero who created them, and when he originally created them, I think it was something like the zombie or the mindless flesh eaters. He hadn't really called them zombies or the living dead, and... You know, and I have an issue with zombies, too, and you touched on this. My issue is that zombies don't sell anymore. I would love to spend my nights writing zombie fiction, but nobody wants it anymore. It was an oversaturated market.
It was a drastically. I hear they're making another spinoff of Walking Dead, you know, and I read an interview with George Romero, and he said that he wasn't willing to direct a Walking Dead because it was basically just a big soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've beaten the undead to death.
They have. Yeah, totally they have. But, you know, I'm sure it'll come back around and hopefully with a new twist. But, you know, it starts to make you wonder when they rehash things so many times, there comes a point where there's just like nothing new. So it's up to horror authors such as you to excite horror fans such as me.
Well, I hope they do, because I've got a folder full of zombie stories I'm trying to sell. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back, I'm hoping to talk about your new book. We have about a minute here to go. How many books have you written?
I've actually written three full-length novels at 60,000 words.
So this new one, Mercy, is your third book.
Well, there's some debate on that, because Mercy and my other book, Destroying the Tangible Illusion of Reality or Searching for Andy Kaufman, came out about the same time.
I see. So it's in your first three. It's tied for second.
It's in the trilogy.
All right. So you are listening to our guest, T. Fox Dunham, here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We'll talk about his new medical thriller, Mercy.
Take a break, driver, driver, race. purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California 96003.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, T. Fox Dunham, switching hats here, going from radio host to horror author. So I've had problems with with authors in general being on the show because I don't want to ask them to give too much away from the book because the goal is that you want to buy the book, you know. So can you give us a quick rundown, a teaser trailer of what this book is about?
Absolutely. William Saint is dying of cancer. On most days, death seems like a humane alternative to the treatment. He's stricken with fever, and he's rushed to a hospital, and he's in the last days of his life. And in those last days of his life, he's thinking about his past. He's haunted by broken hearts. He's haunted by regret. And when he gets to the hospital, they begin violating him, as doctors often do with medical tests, and torturing him. And he begins to learn that there's something wrong with this hospital. It's decaying. It's decrepit. And the doctors turn out to be something else, and they're feeding on him. They're preparing him. And his past explodes in front of him, and he must confront those regrets before moving on. Was that misty enough for you?
That's completely terrifying.
Yeah, that is terrifying, because, like, when I was reading a little bit about it, I'm just all like, is this supernatural? Because, like, one thing that I was reading about it was, like, sort of, you know, it was saying that it was horror, but when I read the topic, I'm just all, you know, well, this is potentially just very depressing, you know. But
you know, I think most horror walks that line of, honestly, this could happen.
It is. You know, I read a
good
lot.
Good horror, anyway.
It is. I read, and they're trying to give that teaser trailer without giving away, you know. And so what you just told me definitely, you know, spikes my interest. So, really, aside from, you know, supernatural, or even in the case of not supernatural, people getting stabbed to death in the face, you know, all the stuff that goes on in horror. Don't look at me like that, Sean. You're not a horror fan. You don't know what goes on. When you're writing, what do you try to channel to? Do you have a plan, like, to build tension and release it, kind of like a horror movie does? Or, you know, what's your writing process towards trying to write horror?
You know, that's very much what I do. You do plan tension. You learn how to pace tension. It's a lot like writing music. You learn how to create what's called micro tension. You do create a plan. And like a baker doing a souffle, you have to level it a certain way. Modern readers expect a rhythm. They expect a sine wave, a curve, when you're writing fiction at the beginning, middle, and end. And they expect plateaus, crashes, larger plateaus, climax, twist, and I can actually see the chart in my head, and I've taken time to learn how to convert that sort of curve, that sine wave from the modern novel into a plot where you can give the reader what they expect. Because if you mess those expectations up, the reader will put the book down.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There is room for people to break their mold, but for the most part, we want an exciting twist to something we feel comfortable in. You know, that's why horror so often uses sexuality or comedy to make us feel comfortable before they stick us with fear, you know.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So
or juxtaposition.
Right, yeah. I've always wondered about writers in general, and I'm sure this is different for every writer. When you write a book, do you have the idea in your head, or do you actually, like, write out an outline, maybe like you would a school paper? You know, anytime I've tried to write something, I've actually done, like, this outline. Okay, so they go here, they do this, here's the, you know, and I'm trying to create that roller coaster that you're talking about. You know, what do you do there, or does it just kind of come out of you?
Right, ideas come like quick flashes. They come like celestial visions, and they're fast, and they leave you with a moment of inspiration, but then you have to figure out how to apply that to the modern form. So I will get an idea, or I'll get a twist, or some piece or an element, or I'll go, oh, wow, what a great idea. That, you know, that man's being possessed by a troll. But then you have to, like we were talking about, apply it to that sine wave, to that model, because there are so many different elements, especially writing short fiction, there are so many different elements you can pick in a story, so many different character moments, but everything in the story has to be necessary. It has to push the plot along. It has to be pushing that reader to that expectation, to that climax, to that twist, and answering a certain question. You know, does he or she survive? Do they get killed by the zombies? Yes, they do, and this happens. But you also have to deal with theme and character growth and arc, which is not just do they survive, but how do they change and transform along the way. And it's a lot to figure out. It's a lot to plan. So, yes, I will take out my notebook. I will take out my index cards.
So you do chart it on some level. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing, so I've always aspired ever since I was a kid to be an author. You know, I never succeeded at anything. I wrote a script or something twice. But so part of my fear of being an author myself has always been that inspiration does come in bursts, like you're saying. And I've always been sort of scared that each burst would have a different voice, carrying the inspiration of who I was at that time and what was going on in my life at the time. And while the story may match, that the voice doesn't necessarily match. Do you find that maybe that's the case and you go back through and have to tie the voice together depending on where you were at in your life when you were writing each part as it came?
That's very true. And it's not just about tying voice together. It's also about writing for the market that you want. There's a difference between writers and professional authors. A lot of people write, and they enjoy their writing, and there's no pressure on them. But to be an author, you have to learn to write from that inspiration, to write from your voice, but also to know how to create another voice, to write for the market that you're writing for, or for a short story, which is very different than writing from fiction. You're not writing a novel. So, yes, I will have to go back and change a particular story. Let's say if it gets rejected for one market, I want to send it off to a different theme or a different genre. I will have to go back and kind of find a synthesis, a synergy between the market elements and the audience expectations and my own voice or who I was then and who I am now. And stories grow. You know, I wrote a story called The Last Elf. And it was published by Grey Matter Press by a friend, Anthony Riviera. And it took me 10 years to write this story. And it just went through so many evolutions. And finally, you know, looking back at the first draft and looking back at, like, the 11th draft, it had changed so much. But I could recognize that growth. So I guess the best way to say is you have to evolve to meet your fiction.
Yeah.
And your fiction has to evolve to meet you.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm a musician, and so I write songs, and they tend to be, you know, shorter, at least less investment on a word level, you know. And I've found that when I'm creating things that I eventually have to pull myself away and say, no, you're done. You have to let the rawness of what you put in there come across, or you might just be, you know, tweaking and poking at this thing forever. You know, do you find that there's a time when you're writing where you basically have to say, no, I'm going to go through, dot some I's and cross some T's, and I need to be done, and I need to let that art come out, or I'm just never going to be done?
You're never done. I mean, a story will never be done because you're always changing and growing. And it's funny, I never finish my story. I just run out of time.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
The deadline is due, and you have to get it off. But
I like that. I'm going to use that in my life. I like that.
Yeah, I tell other authors, I'm like, look, there's a point where you've got to stop. You've got to get it out there because we're perfectionists, and we're always chasing the vision, that translation of the vision into the words, and it's never going to be perfect. The moment it gets perfect, we're dead. We're bored. There's nothing left.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or part of my problem, at least with songwriting, was that I'm putting so much of myself in there that by the time I'm done with the song, I might be a different person. And I look back at that song and I think, what an idiot wrote that. You know, and so that's kind of the hard part where I have to, like, cut it off and be like, no, I'm done. And you got to walk away. And so, you know, do you look back at your previous books and think, like, oh, man, I could have done that this way?
In horror, yes. It's very hard for me to read previous work and not see how I could have changed it and improved it. It's also reassuring because it lets me know that I'm growing. But it's also, if an author can look back at a story they wrote previously and feel comfortable with it, then they're in a good place because it never happens.
Right. All right, well, we're coming up on our next commercial break here. You're listening to our guest, T. Fox Dunham, horror author and host of the podcast, What Are You Afraid Of? When we come back, we're going to talk about an event he has coming up here, Horror at the Fort. Come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Aloha. This is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, T-Fox Dunham. So when we left, we were talking about your book, Mercy, and now we want to talk to you a little bit about this event you got, Horror at the Fort. What is this?
Yeah, Horror at Fort Mifflin. It's our second time doing it. Fort Mifflin is one of the country's oldest historic forts from the Revolutionary War in Philadelphia, and we have been honored to set up a horror authors event there. We did it last year, and we're doing it this year. I mean, I'm trying to promote more gathering and events for horror writing in Philadelphia. I mean, we didn't really have a horror community. It was very much like a deserted island around here. But, you know, I'm trying to bring people together, and we had some people come down from New York last time, and this time we're focusing more on Pennsylvania authors, and it's a great event out there. We have vendors come out. We set up tables, and then we'll do a horror reading of several selected authors in Casement 5, which is just a haunted, spooky location. I mean, it's in this old fort, and it's very dark, and it's lit by candles and lanterns, and it's wonderful to have the horror authors go up there and, you know, give us their material. And then that night, there's a ghost hunt that they do, that people can come out. And you can find information about that at the website at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com. We'll have event information up there for anybody who wants to come out who's in the Philadelphia area on October 6th.
So is there an ample amount of fans in the area?
There is. Every horror author has a sort of following in the area, friends, family, and people who come to local events. And, of course, horror author fans and horror fans are everywhere, and it's just a matter of reaching out to them.
Yeah, well, I tell my wife over and over that I want my retirement to be making a horror film, and she's just all, well, that's not really a realistic retirement. And I told her, oh, no, horror fans will watch anything. If you could afford to make one once, you could probably afford to make another one, because as a horror fan, I will literally watch 99 terrible films to find that one that is just absolutely beautiful.
And with Netflix, it's easier because we have, you know, a larger variety of horror films out there with less investment that you can take the time and find some real gems out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I've been so busy, I haven't had much time to read. I feel embarrassed admitting that, but I am a horror reading fan also. I just haven't had much of a chance to in the last 5 years, but man, this conversation has inspired me. And now knowing, and frankly, I got to tell you, you think that you're in the dry wastelands of like desert island of horror out there. You know, Reading is like culturally lacking in a lot of areas. So,
well, then that's why you're online, though. You're on the radio. You're reaching out to people around the world.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because Reading is exactly the sort of town you'd think would be haunted. It's like Sunnydale from Buffy or Twin Peaks from Twin Peaks. It's like it's that kind of town, and yet there's nothing.
It's like Welcome to Night Vale.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Am I crazy here? It is. Yes?
It's a little
small
bit.
Small town where all the dark things happen, you know.
Yeah, well, it's funny how...
I think you kind of nailed it there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, what about your first two books? I realize this one's tied for second. Were they horror? The first one seemed like it was maybe fantasy that you were just telling us about.
Well, that was my first book is actually called The Street Martyr, and it was a crime novel. I also write in all genres. I mostly got into horror because, to tell you the truth, it was the best-selling genre that you could break into.
That's what I was saying, man. Loyal fans in horror.
Yeah.
And my first novel was The Street Martyr, which was about two low-level sort of incompetent Philly drug dealers who get blamed for the gruesome death of a priest. And they have to prove their innocence while coming to terms with their lives. And I'm happy to say that'll actually be a major motion picture from Throughline Films. It's in production now.
Awesome.
And, yeah, so that was a lucky stroke for me. And that was crime. And my second book, Destroying the Tangible Illusion of Reality or Searching for Andy Kaufman, again, it's about my story with cancer because I was diagnosed at 18 with a rare lymphoma that I nearly didn't survive. And so a lot of these books are a catharsis for my battle with cancer. And that's more of a whimsical, insane, philosophical novel, also very much like the comical stylings of Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, well, the title, when I read that title, it definitely brought to mind, electric Kool-Aid acid test and sort of these crazy titles. So when I read the title, I'm just like, man, what is this thing about?
And that was the effect, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if Andy Kaufman were alive, he and I would definitely be besties today.
Awesome. So, you know, we're not too far from the end of the show here. So can you tell our audience about where they can find out more about What Are You Afraid Of podcast, and really mostly where they can get a hand on your book?
Well, you can go over to our website at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com, where we've got a page for every episode with information for our guests. Plus, we have an archive of ghost stories on there that people have sent in. Then we also have an audio narrative read by our voice actors on there. A wonderful British voice actor called David Walton, who does a lot of our narrations, and he's incredible. Now, I have a website over www.tfoxdunham.com. It's still kind of under construction, but you can also go over to Amazon or just type in T. Fox Dunham on the internet and my books will pop up.
And so now that you've finished this book, of course, there's a lot of pushing it on the road, but you know, what's next for you? What are you working on?
I'm working on some short fiction, working on some crime fiction, working on another sort of horror novel called Mr. Bones that I'm shopping around for a publisher for, and a sort of sci-fi novel that I'm getting into. But it's always short stories pop up. I have one coming up on Near to the Knuckle this Wednesday called Tongue. It's a crime story. And just, you know, stories pop up. You take the job, you work on them, and try to put more time into your books, you get so distracted.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like, you know, switching gears would be difficult. I'm an owner of a business, but I also do a lot of the work, and I find that switching from the work to the administration can be incredibly difficult, although you still have to train yourself to do it. And in looking at artists and writers and these people, the people who truly find some success are the people who are able to switch somewhat effectively.
Right, and it's very much, I always call it juggling. You're juggling worlds constantly. And today I need to be working on a crime story, tomorrow I want to put work into this horror novel, and the next day I need to jump back and write an article. So it's always good to have good notes around, but in the end, it's very jolting. It's like waking up from a nightmare, falling asleep, and falling into another dream.
Well, we really enjoyed having you on the show. We're here at the end. Can you give us the website one more time?
Sure. The podcast website is www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com, and you can also find me at www.tfoxdunham.com and also on Amazon. Just type that in. And the book is Mercy, my horror hospital thriller about my battle with cancer made metaphor.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been totally interesting and very inspiring. I'm going to hate working my typical day job tomorrow as I fantasize about all the things that I could have been.
Well, when you go home, you can start reading Mercy. So there you go. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to T. Fox Dunham here on Radio Wasteland.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.